Welcome to the Genealogy Happy Hour, a place where new family historians can learn to document their family histories and celebrate their new discoveries. I'm Amy.
And I'm Penny, and we're here to help you discover your family tree from the beginning.
Welcome to episode 96. Today, Penny and I will be interviewing Maureen Taylor, the photo detective.
We are very excited to have Maureen on our podcast. She is a well-known figure in the genealogy world.
She is indeed.
Heard of her already. She has her own podcast, several books out, and she is a contributing editor in the Family Tree magazine. And we're very excited to have her as a guest today.
I can hardly wait to hear more about what we can learn with our family photographs.
Yeah.
But first, sure. Penny, do we have wine?
We do. It's a little different today. We have a winery.
We have a whole winery?
We have a whole winery. I was recently out in Portland visiting my son, and we went to the Mount Hood Winery, mostly because we could just sit out on their beautiful patio and stare at Mount Hood, and we got very lucky that we had a beautiful sunny day and clear skies, so we could see Mount Hood. And we had a flight of several different varieties, and they were all delicious. And it's well worth the trip if you're going out to in the Portland area. Make a trip out to the Mount Hood wineries.
And where's my bottle?
I didn't bring any bottles back. Sorry. We did contemplate actually buying a suitcase. There's a suitcase that you can fit up to 12 bottles in to take on the plane. And Kevin was like, maybe we should get one of these. Kevin doesn't even drink wine.
He doesn't even drink wine, I know.
So for a hot minute, I thought about
it.
I was like, I'm not buying 12 bottles out here.
You've got in trouble with your 12 bottles.
Yeah. But in reference for another
future
trip, I might be investing in one of these suitcases. I think they do them in 6 bottles, too. But
okay.
Yeah.
For Richmond. Exactly. I think we may need that.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get started talking with Maureen Taylor. This episode is brought to you by newspapers.com. Discover your mom in the paper when you search newspapers.com. Find the stories that made her who she is today by searching the largest online newspaper archive. Newspapers.com makes it easy to find your mom, grandma, and others in the papers. Search more than 945 million pages, from major newspaper titles to small town papers. Uncover birth and marriage announcements, obituaries, photos, and much, much more. Explore newspapers dating back to 1690 and as recent as last month. Newspapers.com is used by millions of people every month for genealogy, historical research, and more. Find something you like? With newspapers.com, it's a snap to save and share articles with family and friends or attach them directly to your ancestry tree. Use promo code HAPPYHOUR for a 20% discount on your subscription. That's code HAPPYHOUR and celebrate the stories of a lifetime with newspapers.com.
Unlock the stories hidden within your old family photos with related faces. Imagine identifying a great-grandparent in their youth and adding unknown faces to your family's story. With our advanced facial recognition, we turn each unidentified photo from a mere image into a chapter of your history waiting to be told. Build profiles for the faces you know and let us reveal stories behind the ones you don't. Related Faces searches your collection, other users' collections, and even the U.S. Library of Congress archives, making every discovery an emotional journey. Whether it's a forgotten ancestor, unidentified family friend, or long-lost relative, Related Faces breathes new life into your family's photos, enriching your narrative and preserving these memories for future generations. It's not just about knowing who's in your photos, it's about reconnecting with your lineage and expanding your family story. Start your journey of discovery with Related Faces today. Visit relatedfaces.com to learn more and sign up.
Let's uncover the past together, preserving a legacy for the future.
All right. Well, welcome, Maureen, to the Genealogy Happy Hour. We're so happy that you're here today.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Great.
So can you tell us a little bit about why you love and your passion is photogenealogy.
Yeah, I love photographs. I've been a photo person ever since I was a kid. There's a picture of me at age seven with a camera in my hands. You know, it's just linked. But family photographs really, for me, connected me to my family. Mm-hmm. My mom gave me all the family photographs, or I thought she gave me all the family photographs, and it turns out that as the youngest person in the family, she was home living with my grandmother longer than all the other siblings, and some of them had photographs, but not the ones in the middle, just the oldest and the youngest. Mm-hmm. And so I have them all together now, which is great. And so she would show us the pictures. She loved to take them out and look at them. We looked at them at least once a year, and we'd talk about them. And that inspired me to want to know more about history, the visual history of everything that was happening. I mean, I was a history geek as a kid. I hate to say it, but I was. But for me, it's never enough just to know what happened. I need to see what happened. I need to see pictures around the time of whatever happened. If it's about the town that somebody lived in, or the factory they worked in, or, you know, the people. I really love to find the photographs, because for me, knowing that every year when we took those boxes of photos out and we talked about them and told stories, there were all kinds of layers, right? It wasn't just the same story over and over again. It was different stories about these people or places or what they were wearing, all kinds of stuff like that. And so for me, a photograph and the visual information in a photograph tells us more about history than sometimes history documents themselves.
Yeah, I love that idea of bringing out the photos and going over them every year, kind of like let's look at these again. Because I look at my photographs a lot, but I don't think I share them enough with my family members, my kids, and to get them to really know who everybody is.
I think that's true. I think that I don't. My mother did, though. You're right. My mother would get out her photo albums, and I would go through them as a kid, looking at everyone when they were younger, because my mother was also the youngest in the family. So a lot of older cousins and older aunts and uncles that we really didn't interact with a lot. So those photographs certainly do bring a new context to your family history.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Well, Maureen, you brought a photo to share with us today. And right before we started, you were telling us that it has quite a story, and there's some twists and turns in this.
Yeah, this is my mom's side of the family, which makes sense since I just spoke about her.
Okay. And this photo is going to be on our website, by the way. So please, everyone, go check out our website, and the photo will be there.
Yeah, it's a group portrait. My mom always had on her bureau a picture of her mom and dad, and didn't really know much about them. But I always knew who they were, right? So then in the photo box was this group portrait. And obviously my grandmother is in this picture. So I recognized her right away. And my mom knew the names of everyone. Right. She told me the names of everyone. She said, that's your grandmother. There's her sister, Rose, her brothers in the middle. Those are his children. He's a recent widower in this picture. And these were these were her grandparents in the center. It seemed simple, right? Mm-hmm. Until I thought, okay, well, I'm the photo detective. It really means I really need to work on my own photographs and tell the story behind them. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to make a tentative date for this picture. I'm just going to pick one that seems reasonable, since I know when my grandmother was married and I know things about the family. And so I picked a tentative date of 1910. And of course, we have a census from 1910, which is partly why I picked that date. So then I could go to the census and I could see who's living with whom and all the details. Well, the six children living in the household, the niece, the nephew, the parents, my grandmother's paternal grandfather's names, it's all there, right? The whole family's there. And then one of the questions asked of my great grandmother was how many children she had and how many were still living. Well, you can do the math in this photo when you look at it on their website, but she said seven. And I was like, wait, what? Seven? There are three in this picture.
So she said seven are still living?
Yeah.
Okay.
The seven that she'd had.
Oh, seven had that she seven. Had. Okay.
So I decided, wow, six children were listed in the 1910 census, seven lived to adulthood, three in the photo. Okay. I was like really confused, like where were the other four children? My grandmother's siblings, where were they? And my mom talked about some of them, but I still didn't know. So at that point, mom was still alive. And I asked her, I said, gee, you know, there's a lot of siblings in this family. Where are they all? And she said, you know, maybe she had a brother who died or maybe, but she didn't recognize some of the names in the census. And I thought, okay, I'm losing it. I know this is a family photo and I know these are my family members. Mm-hmm. So I did that genealogy deep dive, which you have to do with all your pictures. You have to do the historical background and the genealogy background to truly understand what's happening in the picture. So first off, the census taker anglicized all the French Canadian names. Mm. So Alfred wasn't Alfred. He was actually Alphage, right?
Okay.
John B. was not John B. He was Jean-Baptiste, who was actually Joseph Jean-Baptiste. Okay.
Oh.
So the kid in the front, my mom always said was her mother's nephew, Pete. Actually, his real name was Hubert Napoleon Jean-Baptiste.
Wow.
Whose nickname my mom said was Pete, except that it wasn't Pete, P-E-T-E, as we think of it. It was Pete, P-I-T-O-U, the French Canadian.
Ah.
You got it? Feeling confused?
Yes.
Absolutely. French Canadian research can be a tangle, especially since we don't even do the DNA because everybody's related to everybody else. I feel like everyone is related to everyone else. But my great-grandmother did have seven children. One son married in 1904 and moved to Boston. One son died in 1912. Another son died before my grandmother married in 1916 and before this photo was taken. And yet another son moved to New York. So that's four down and the three left in the image.
Okay.
Right. So,
when this photo was taken, there were two other children that were still living, two boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One married in 1904, moved to Boston. Mm-hmm. I heard about him. And then one son died in 1912 and another son died in 1916. I'm thinking this photograph is actually somewhere around 1916, not 1910.
Okay.
Because my grandmother married. She married a French Canadian, and at that point, she married in 1916. At the time she got married, if you married someone who wasn't a U.S. citizen, you lost your citizenship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So she moved to Canada with her husband back home with his family, and her sister, who's also in that photograph, married a French Canadian, lost her citizenship and moved to Quebec and stayed there. So not that long ago, I received an email from one of her descendants, like a great grandchild or whatever. And she said, I have these photographs and I don't know who they are.
Aha.
And there was my grandmother as a teenager. And I was like, oh man, I love this photograph. And so I could tell her a little bit about them. But, you know, the DNA brought us back together. I didn't trace that family tree forward.
But how fun, and that she had those photos for you.
She did. She had a few photographs for me.
Oh.
Yeah, it's great. And Let me get rid of this. Hold on, I gotta shut off my email. Is
that happens?
It's really booping. So, I mean, photographs are just that, you know, they're endlessly interesting to me. What I see, what other people no longer see in their photos, but I see, because I'm always looking for the thing that's unusual, mm-hmm. like what's standing out in the photograph. There's another picture I have. It's of it's me as a little kid, my sister as a baby, and my mom and dad, and everybody's dressed to the nines. I mean, when I was a kid, I did not leave that house without a hat on my head. You know, I mean, who wears a hat today? But my mom always had a hat on my head. And they're sitting in front of a door on the front steps of, like, you know, this like ranch house. And on the door is a monogram of a G, which for me is like, oh, wait a minute. I know exactly where that picture was taken, on my aunt, the Gruslin.
Oh, just because of the monogram on the door.
The G, yeah. Right. The G on the door. And it's a fabulous photograph because it's a, not too long after that, things really changed. My dad got sick for a really long time and just everything changed. But there we are, the perfect family at this perfect moment.
Oh,
wow. With my mom with these like huge petticoats. You know, she sat down. It was like, sat down and her dress went, whoa.
All the fluff.
See the whole slip, the fluff. You know, crinoline thing under there. So it's great.
Very cool.
I mean, people just don't, it's, I mean, I just love looking at photographs.
What are some key things that we should look for when we're getting out that photo album that we haven't looked at in a long time, looking at photos, say, from the first half of the 20th century? What should we be looking for?
First, people think that they should take those albums apart. And I don't agree with that at all. They're like, but there could be something written on the back. There sure could be something written on the back. I can't deny that some people wrote on the back of their photographs and then stuck them in an album. But is it worth losing the context and the story of that album? So if you're talking about early 1900s is what I think you're talking about for these albums. You're talking about the big black paper.
Yeah, right.
Lots of photographs, collages, tickets, ephemera, all kinds of stuff all over the pages. You don't want to take them apart because somebody really spent time thinking about what should go on each page and who should be included. And you can put together the details based on the clothing, the technology, like cars, the background, where were they taken? You know, can you actually recreate? If you scan everything, but which of course I've done, everything came to me in a big box rather than albums. There really weren't any albums. So everything just came to me in a big shuffled box because we've been looking at them every year, right? Nothing was in order. I've been trying to put together the rolls of film to try to recreate how many photographs were taken on a particular day.
Oh my gosh.
To see if that tells the story. So in my case, I have a series of photographs all taken on the same day. And I use it as a teaching tool to say who took the photograph. Because as you go through the roll, they each took turns holding the camera. So there's always somebody missing.
Right. Yeah. Who's missing? Who's missing in the photo? Well, and that's sort of what you did in this photo. It looks like a beautiful family photo. But there's people missing out of that photo.
Right. There's people missing.
Yeah.
Right.
Why are they missing?
That I hadn't even really questioned because we only talked about the people in the photograph. And then we talked about the son who had moved to New York.
Mm-hmm. It's like the negative evidence.
Correct.
What's not
negative
there.
Evidence.
Yeah.
Right. Not who's just there, but who's not there.
Yeah.
So what you got to keep the albums together. No more damage is going to happen to them. I mean, the black paper albums that eventually fall apart, the paper cracks and everything. Yeah. But you really don't want to take it apart because they took a long time to fill in. And if you have an album with something on every page, then that is a story right there.
Sure.
If you can figure it out.
Yeah, I love that.
Like college students, bought those black paper albums. They took photographs, they pasted them in. So you have this memorial album of all their years in school. That's a popular one. I just bought one of those. It's fantastic. It's got dance cards in the back, you know, the little silk cord.
Thing. Yes, yes.
And it's got a little dance card, little book that somebody would have hung off their wrist and carried around with them.
Yes.
So that's kind of cool. It's got tickets to events. It's got photographs of their professors. It's got photographs of, you know, girlfriends, dorm rooms.
That's very cool. When you find things like that that are not your family, do you try to find the family that it belongs to? And I know that can be difficult because you're so many generations down sometimes on who would even want it, or I don't know.
Right. Well, you know, I've interviewed some of those photo reunion people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions I have for them is, how successful are you really? Like, how many photographs do you have to research before you get to the one they can actually reconnect? And then if you reconnect them, do they even want them? Yeah. There was someone online who was looking for photographs, the family. There was a group of photographs from, you're going to hate this, 1978. They found them somewhere. And they were trying to reconnect them with family. And I somebody sent it to me and I commented. And I was like, they probably don't want them.
Right.
Yeah.
And the photo reunionist got back to me and he said, yep.
Yeah, that was right.
Yeah.
Too recent.
Yeah.
Too recent. So then what do you do? If you have a photograph from 1880, say, and there's no more direct line descendants of that person, and that's probably why the photographs got abandoned in the first place.
True.
How much work are you going to do? Are you going to do all the collateral line research, and how far are you going to go with that?
Right. So do they really want a picture of their great, 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 great aunt or something?
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah. I mean, I have a story on my blog about I think it was in 2020. You know, we were all doing online. I was doing online auctions because I couldn't go to the photo shows that I love to go to. And I bought this fabulous photograph of a little dog sitting on standing on a table, and it even has a name. And on the back, someone had written in ballpoint pen the whole story of the dog. You know, this is the dog, lived next door to mother. Maybe this is 75 to 85. You know, and the person who did the caption had put their initials there. I mean, I did this whole story on it, and I did in fact reach out to living descendants of the family who had owned the dog. And they were. I was like, do you want the picture of the dog? I'll send you a scan, because there's like no way I'm giving up the original. It's just too much. And they were like, no.
No, thank you.
They're not really interested in the whole story. And I was like,
oh, isn't that heartbreaking?
A good story.
That's so heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking because the caption on the back was partially wrong. So... the guy writing the caption said, this is the dog that lived next door to mother when she was a kid, blah, 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 blah. It belonged to the whatever, you know, Smith family, and they all lived in Brooklyn. When I did all the research, the person who wrote the caption's mother, who said she loved that dog that lived next door when she was a kid, well, she lived next door. It was her dog.
Oh, my gosh. That's interesting.
So when she got older and got married, her and her husband lived next door to her parents.
So if you hadn't done that research on the photo and with the information, you get a whole different
story. It just got better and better. And
that's wild.
The last one I did was the Helmuth Voigt, and I can't even tell you how much time I spent working on this person. Probably more than I spent on many of the people in my family tree. And then of course you have to go forward, right? That's what you do with the photo reunion stuff. You've got the names, then you have to do all the document research. You have to look at the photograph. Does it all add up? You know, blah, blah, blah. And you go all the way forward. And I found myself looking at obituaries of people to try to find living descendants. I put it online. I put it in all my lectures because somebody out there's got to be interested in him. But it was so great because on the back of this photograph was an argument.
What?
They had, an argument, an actual argument where the son had written, "This is Dad," in front of the restaurant he owned in Brooklyn, blah, blah, blah. And the sister, as it turned out, half sister, not full sister, wrote across it, "This is not Dad. He was a failure. He never owned anything in his life," blah, 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 blah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was terrible. So I had to have it. I was at an antique shop with a friend and he found it and he was like, "If you don't buy this, I will buy it." And I was like, "Hand it over. It's not going home with you." And I found out amazing things about this guy. Do I think it's him in the photo? I do. Did he have another wife still living in California? Yeah, he did. But like, okay. You know, it's so convoluted of a story. In the end, I sort of gave up because I thought, I just can't spend my whole life working on the Helmuth Voigt story, which got more and more and more interesting. Who he married, when he married, why he went to California. I mean, there was just endless amounts of information on this person.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
All started from just one little photograph.
All from the photograph.
Because I turned it over and I was like, I've never seen a caption that's an argument before. I had to have it. It was $10.
Fun.
I mean, there was no way I was going to leave it there for $10.
No.
On eBay, somebody would have put it up there for hundreds. I was like, this is in the antique shop and it's coming home.
Taking this home right now.
Yeah. It's coming home. Definitely.
Maureen, those are such wonderful stories you have about photographs. And I think it's inspiring to all of us to go back into our stash or maybe hunt for some like you have in different little antique shops.
I'm gonna pull my mom's albums out for sure tonight.
Yeah, and kids.
Look at your family history. Look at the costume. Look at what's happening in the picture. Look at the photo format if it's an unusual one. Put it all together and see if it makes sense. And if it doesn't, then start all over. But really, one block at a time, one detail at a time, and tell the story. You'll be amazed at what you find.
Yes. Can you share with everybody where they can find you out there?
Sure. So my website is MaureenTaylor.com, and Maureen is MaureenTaylor, TaylorTaylor.com. I'm also Photo Detective on all social media platforms, including TikTok.
Okay. And you do a fun one that's called Ask Me Anything, right?
I do. So anyone that has a question about photographs, not a specific photograph, because for that I do consultations with you individually in private that recorded. We can talk for a while about your pictures. But the Ask Me Anything is any other kind of question you have about a photograph. And then it's a podcast episode because I have a podcast, The Photo Detective. But also we're putting them out on some of the advice and comments on social media, and I've been working on TikTok content for the next few months.
So. Oh, fun. Perfect.
Yeah.
And I did mention at the and when we did our intro for you that you have a you're an editor for, or a contributing editor for, Family Tree magazine, and I have to say that's the first page I always go to when my magazine comes in. I want to see what you put up. I go right to the back where your page is, and I look at that first before I go through the rest of the magazine because I love that stuff.
Thank you so much. We get some really interesting submissions for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been very interesting. I was just looking at the photo, Maureen, that you shared with us, and I'm just looking at little Pete. He's got his little arms crossed, and he's just adorable in that picture. Little Pete.
Yeah, I have a picture of Pete in World War II.
Oh, wow. Wow, he grew up.
Yeah.
Neat.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And until next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening. Please email us with any questions or comments at genealogyhappyhour@gmail.com.
Visit our website, www.genealogyhappyhour.com, for additional resources, books, and wines. Don't forget to drink responsibly
and never drink around genealogical documents.